The following lecture, entitled "The Man They Loved" by Muhammad Shinawi, was brought to you by Tawheed NYC. For more information, please visit www.tawheednyc.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wahda. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah al-maliku al-haqq al-mubin. وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله الصادق الوعد الأمين وأشهد أن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار نعوذ بالله تبارك وتعالى من النار. We begin in the name of Allah, the Benevolent, the Merciful. All praise and glory belongs to Allah, the true and ultimate King. And may the finest peace and blessings of Allah be upon the one after whom there is no prophet. And we testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his servant and his prophet and his messenger. And we testify that the best of words are Allah's words, Al-Qur'an al-Majid, Al-Qur'an al-Azim, and the best of guidance, the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the most dangerous of matters, the newly invented matters in the deen, for every newly invented matter in the religion is a leading astray that only leads to the fire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and our family members from every belief, action, or saying that will lead us to the fire. Allahumma ameen. We welcome first our brothers and sisters in Islam, and we commend their efforts coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the knowledge of their deen, and we bring to you the glad tidings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he informed us, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ رِضًا بِمَا يَطْلُبُ. Indeed, the angels lower their wings right now. They lower their wings for the students of knowledge out of pleasure of what they seek. And the topic of tonight's talk is the man that they loved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we begin with that which is best, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal, he says in Surah At-Tawbah,
قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ.
Which means, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if it be that your fathers and your sons, your parents and your children, and your brethren and your spouses, your wives and your husbands, and your relatives, and the wealth that you have earned, and the businesses that you fear their decline, you fear their decrease, and the homes that you are pleased with. Say to them, O Muhammad, that if these are more beloved to you than Allah, or more beloved to you than His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or more beloved to you than jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَتَرَبَّصُوا, then just wait, you just wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about His command. And the ayah concludes, and Allah does not guide those that are fasiq, rebellious to His laws, to His commands. Al-Qadi Iyad rahimahullah, he says, notice that in this ayah, Allah azza wa jal lists for us 8 things that are halal for you to love. your parents, your children, your wives, your brothers, your relatives. It's halal for you to enjoy these things. But come be the day that they are more beloved to you than Allah or His Messenger or Jihad, then you turn into those being threatened by Allah. You just wait. See what's going to happen. And he says, even though it's halal, if they outweigh the love of the other three, the much more important three, then you are called fasiq at the end of the ayah, despite them being halal. And the one that is fasiq is the one that openly and arrogantly rebels against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. And at certain times in the Quran, the fusaq, the people that are fasiq, are placed on completely opposite ends with iman. Like in Surah Al-Sajda, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ.
Is the one that is a mu'min, a believer, like the one that is fasiq, a rebel, لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. They can never equate. And in concordance with this same meaning is the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim of Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ. None of you is truly a believer, a complete believer, حَتَّى أَكُونُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Until I am more beloved to him than his parents and his children and all of the people combined. And subhanallah al-azim, when you look at the first fleet of Muslims, that first generation of champions, the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim, and their love for that man sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it becomes as if it's some far-fetched, unbelievable story, some myth, some legend, nothing that could really exist. Like in Sahih Muslim, for example, the story of the death of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala an. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala, when he was dying, he began to cry, and he was asked, why are you crying? And he mentioned the stages that he went through in his life, the stage of when he was a kafir, and then when he became a Muslim, and then the third stage after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the point to mention in the second stage, he says, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then became the most beloved man to me, and no one was more beloved in my eyes or more weighty in my eyes than him. And I loved him so much and I respected him so much that I could not stare at him for long periods of time. And today, on my deathbed, were you to ask me to describe him to you, I would not be able to describe him to you because I was unable to stare at him for long periods of time. When you hear about Zayd ibn Dathinna radiallahu ta'ala an, who was captured by Abu Sufyan when Abu Sufyan was still a mushrik for being a Muslim, and they were about to kill him. So after they were tying him up and preparing to execute him, they told him, oh Zayd, why did it have to come to this? Why did you make that decision and disobey Quraysh and follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They told him, now that you see what the end result is, you're about to pay with your life. Don't you wish now that you were back home with your family, enjoying your money, and Rasulullah was here instead of you sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, no, wallahi, I would not rather be home amongst my family and my honor if the cost of that would be that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be pricked by a thorn. What kind of love is this? And more amazing than that, look at the Sahaba in the Battle of Uhud. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the Battle of Uhud and Khalid ibn Walid came around the mountain and the Muslims were ambushed, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he fell into the ambush and fell unconscious, some of the Sahaba, they showed their worth. a man by the name of Abu Dujana, who had already displayed his bravery and his courage in that battle. Before the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet ﷺ pulled out his sword and he said, "Who will carry my sword today?" So everyone said, "Me, me, me." He said, "Man ya'khudhu hadha as-sayfa bihaqqih," who will take this sword and live up to it? Everyone sat down, except Abu Dujana. Abu Dujana stood up and said, "Me, O Messenger of Allah." And he went and he took his sword, and then he pulled out of his pocket, which is called Asabatul Harb, a red bandana. And he tied it around his head to draw all the attention to himself. And it was known that when you tie this on your head, that means anyone that comes in front of me, I am not going anywhere, either I die or you die. And he fought, and he fought, and he fought. And then, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell in an ambush, he ran over to him, and he jumped over him as the archers had begun to shower down the arrows. And arrow after arrow after arrow fell into his back, and he refused to move out of fear that one arrow would hit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Talha, as Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he used to talk about Uhud, he used to say this whole day was for Talha. This was Talha's day. He jumped in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he grabbed him when he was unconscious, and he pulled him back, then he put him down and jumped forward and met the mushrikeen. And he pushed them off, and he would grab Rasulullah again and pull him further back. And when an arrow would come, he would stick out his arm, and the arrows would land in his arms, until that arm became paralyzed at the end of the battle for the rest of his life. And then the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awakens and wants to see what is going on. So he begins to lift his head. So Talha jumps over him and says, "La tushrif ya Rasulullah, don't scout, don't look. Nahri duna nahrik, my neck better than yours to be struck by an arrow." And what's more amazing than that, Anas ibn Nadr. In Sahih al-Bukhari from the Hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an, it is said that Anas ibn Nadr, he had missed the Battle of Badr. And he vowed to Allah that if Allah ever gives him the opportunity to meet the mushrikeen again in battle, he will show what he is worth. And that opportunity arose at Uhud, when the rumor went out that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was killed. Some of the Sahaba despaired. And in some of the narrations of them was Umar ibn al-Khattab. He threw his sword on the ground and sat down. So they passed by him and said, "What is the matter, O Umar?" He said, "What's the point to fight now? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead." So Anas ibn al-Nadr heard this and he said, "No, in mata faqumu famutu ala ma mata alayh." If he died, then get up and go die for what he died for. And then he called out to Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. He said, "Ya Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, wahin li rihil jannah. I smell the fragrance of Jannah. Inni la ajiduha duna Uhud." I find it right behind Uhud. And he jumped in the crowds of the mushrikeen. And they found his body after the battle with over 80 strikes of either a sword or a spear or an arrow. And no one was able to recognize who that body was except his sister by his fingertips. And then after the Battle of Uhud, the caravan is coming back and the rumor had went out that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was killed. So one woman from Banu Dinar, they came to her and they said, "May Allah increase you in patience and give you a great reward." They told her, "Your father and your son and your brother and your husband have been killed in Uhud." Can you imagine? All the men of your family have been killed. The first words to come out of her mouth, "Aina Rasulullah?" Where is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They said, "He is well, walhamdulillah." She said, "I have to see him." So only when they brought her to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and her eyes rejoiced by looking at his blessed face, salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayh, only then did she turn to him and speak about the loss of her family members, and she told him, "Kullu musibah ba'daka jalalun ya Rasulullah." She said, every catastrophe that befalls me is weightless, is insignificant after you, meaning after I'm sure that you're okay, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The poet, he says, مَا عَنْكَ يَشْغَلُنِي مَالٌ وَلَا وَلَدٌ نَسِيتُ بِاسْمِكَ ذِكْرُ الْمَالِ وَالْوَلَدِ فَلَوْ سَفَكْتَ دَمِي فِي التُّرَابِ لَنْ كَتَبَتْ بِهِ حُرُوفُكَ لَمْ تَنْقُصْ وَلَمْ تَزِدِ. The poet says, I am never distracted from you with either my wealth or my children. I forgot as soon as your name was mentioned that I had money and I had kids. Even were you to cut me and let my blood spill in the dirt, it would write the letters of your name, not one letter more, not one letter less. These incidents are not amazing, because it was not just the humans that loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the entire universe. In Sahih Muslim and elsewhere, but this narration that was narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, it says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended. He climbed the mountain of Uhud once. And with him was Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhum ajma'in. May Allah be pleased with them. Uhud began to shake under them. You know, when you meet someone that you're in love with, you get a little nervous, you begin to shake. You finally come in contact with them. Uhud began to shake. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tapped it with his foot thrice, three times. And he said, Uthbut Uhud, O Uhud, be firm. Uskun Uhud, O Uhud, be calm. Fa inna alayka nabi wa siddiq wa shahidain. Because standing over you are a prophet and a siddiq, Abu Bakr, and two shaheeds. Foretelling that Umar and Uthman would be killed in the way of Allah, and they were. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned to the Sahaba and he told them, Uhudun Jabal, Uhud is a mountain. Yuhibbuna wa nuhibbu, that loves us and we love it. Also, even before he became Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was still in his early years, when he was under the guardianship of Abu Talib and he had taken him once on a trip to Asham, a trade, a business trip. There is a monk that used to live on that route whose name was Bahira or Buhayra, as Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions. That whenever Abu Talib and the people of Mecca used to pass, he would always lock his doors and not come out. And the one time Muhammad was with them, before he received revelation, Bahira ran out, screaming from his monastery. And he said, هَذَا سَيِّدُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ هذا رسول رب العالمين هذا خاتم النبيين. This is the leader of humanity. This is the messenger of Allah. This is the seal of the prophets. Abu Talib was like, are you crazy? This young boy? Why do you say that? He said, because on your way here, there was not a tree or a rock that he passed by, except that they made sujood to him, out of honor to him. And they only do this for the prophets. Also, you add on top of that, with the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim narrated in the hadith of Sahih, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give khutbah to the believers leaning on the trunk of a tree. And then when the Muslims, by the blessing and bounty of Allah, became great in number, the clan of uncles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Banu Najjar in Medina, they said, O Messenger of Allah, let us build for you a minbar, a pulpit, so that you can be on a higher platform and your voice can project, you can reach more people and more can see you when you speak. He consented, he gave them permission. Then when he ascended this minbar to give the khutbah for the first time, the Sahaba heard a weaning and a whining and a weeping, a crying coming from that tree. And they were amazed at this sound. One of the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that I have collected for him over 1,000 miracles. that have authentically been proven, established, that occurred to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then not just as the tree cry, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gets down off of the pulpit, the minbar, and walks over to that tree. And he consoles it, he hugs it. Even taking the tree into consideration, compassionate with the trees. Because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ
And we have not sent you, O Muhammad, except as a mercy. A mercy to the humans? A mercy to the jinn? No. As a mercy to all of the universe. So he calmed this tree down and he told the tree, would it not please you that you are buried here today, this trunk, and you are with me in Jannah? So it stopped to cry. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned to the Sahaba and said, had I not consoled this tree now, it would have been crying until the day of judgment. Meaning we would be able to go to Medina today and still see that tree crying. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, the great tabi'i, whenever he would narrate this hadith that he heard from the Sahaba about the tree trunk to the tabi'in or tabi'u tabi'in, every time he would narrate this, he would tell them, Ya ayyuhal muslimun, O Muslims! Ya ma'ashar al-Muslimin, O Muslims! Are you not ashamed that a trunk of a tree cries and craves to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and you don't? And what's more amazing than that, what Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah he narrated in his history book Ad-Durr al-Kamina about the Mughal Empire. He said there was once one of the Mughal generals, this was centuries later, one of the Mughal generals had sought marriage with a European princess. And she told him, I will not marry you until you become a Christian. So he said, I agree, I'll become a Christian. So they sent the missionaries from Europe to make sure that this man was really a Christian. And when they came, they began to give a speech in front of the Mughal army and their general. And to seal the deal on the conversion, if you will, they wanted to deface the opposition. So they began to insult Islam and to curse out the messenger of Islam sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the priest or the missionary did this, one of the Mughal soldiers had a dog with him. The dog pulled away from his owner and ran and jumped and attacked the priest with his claws and his teeth. They jumped on top of him and pulled him off. And one of them said, he did this to you because you cursed out Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the priest said, this is ridiculous. That's the most foolish thing I ever heard. This is a proud dog. When he saw me speaking in a loud voice and pointing my finger when I speak, he thought I was going to hit it. This is why he attacked me. Stop with your nonsense. And the fool said, I'll prove it to you. And he returns and he does what he just did. He curses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam again. This time they were holding the dog tight. The dog ripped the collar that was around his neck. And he ran and he removed the throat of this priest. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah says, and 10,000 Mughal soldiers became Muslim that day. A dog. It's even called a dog. Enraged for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we see him defaced in the newspapers and on the TV screens and in the books, the hottest literature out today. That which defames Allah and His Messenger, or attempts to do so. But whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is insulted, the shame is on us and he gains nothing but prestige. And then we go on to say that the biggest catastrophe that ever occurred on this planet was the loss of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The man they loved, and they understood this. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had died, the Sahaba were traumatized. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an could not believe it and refused to believe it. And pulled out his sword and said he just went to visit Allah the way Musa did. Anyone that says he died, he will cut off their hands and their feet. Until Abu Bakr came and put him in his place and reminded him with the Quran. And he says, it's as if the first time I ever heard these verses. Muhammad is but a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu ta'ala an, when he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, he was never able to make adhan again. They say until Baytul Maqdis, may Allah return it to the Muslims, until Baytul Maqdis was opened by Umar, they asked Bilal to go make the adhan. And for the first time since the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bilal climbs in Al-Quds and he calls out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And he and all of the Muslims, they shook Palestine with their cries, with their tears and with their weeping. Remembering the adhans in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the Sahaba, they made a dua to Allah. Ya Allah, I do not want to see a face after his to take away my sight, and they were blinded. Some of the Sahaba, they say they fell and were unable to get up from the shock of his death. The greatest catastrophe. This is why that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave us the key to patience for the companions of great catastrophes. When he said, مَنِ بِتُلِيَ بِمُصِيبَةٍ, whomever Allah tests with a catastrophe, a huge misfortune in their lives, فَلْيَذْكُرْ مُصِيبَتَهُ بِي, let him remember his catastrophe regarding me, meaning remember that he lost me. فَإِنَّهَا أَعْظَمُ الْمَصَائِبِ, because it is the greatest of catastrophes. So when you remember that, your current catastrophe seems less. And the poet says, أَرُوحُ وَقَدْ خَتَمْتُ عَلَى فُؤَادِي بحبك أن يحل به سواك فلو أني استطعت غضضت طرفي فلا أنظر به حتى أراك أحبك لا ببعضي بل بكلي وإن لم يبقي حبك لي حراك. Very beautiful words. He says, I go on in my life, but I have sealed my heart upon loving you to the extent that nothing else fits inside. And if I can, I will lower my eyes and not look at anyone else until I see you. I love you, not with a part of me, but with all of me, even if loving you leaves me paralyzed. The best man, the purest heart, the strongest soul, Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala an, he went on in the world telling them about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَطُ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. He says, and better than you, my eyes have never seen. And more beautiful than you, no woman has ever given birth to. You were created void, free of all faults, as if you were created the way you wanted, as if you had a say in your own creation. Of course, you can say this is the time of the Sahaba. No one can love him the way they did. First of all, we want to say that it is an obligation of Iman, a prerequisite to our faith, that is the key to our admittance to Jannah, to love him more than everything combined. And Allah would not command you to do something that is outside of your grasp. Secondly, we say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who spoke the truth and nothing but the truth, informed us that there would be people like this after the Sahaba. In Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مِنْ أَشَدُّ أُمَّتِي حُبًّا لِي, of the people of my ummah that will have the strongest love for me, نَاسٌ يَكُونُونَ بَعْدِي, people that will be after my time. يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ رَآنِي بِأَهْلِهِ وَمَالِهِ. One of them would wish that they could see me, even if it costed them their family and their wealth. This means that there will be people coming after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that will love him so much that, let's say, for example, there is the option to go to Medina today and to see him. They would give up everything, every penny they had, not just the bank account, the bank accounts and the investments and the money behind the TV and the money under the mattress, all of it. They would even be willing to sell their family off into slavery. This is not what the command is, but they are willing to do that, if that is what is asked of them, so that they can go. He says, "An yarani," just to see me, not to shake his hand, not to say, "Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah ya Rasulullah," just to see me. And perhaps of these people was Abu Muslim al-Khawalani, rahimahullah. Abu Muslim al-Khawalani, rahimahullah, he became Muslim during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he never got to meet him. Imagine what this must have done for him inside. Allah did not have it written that he ever met him. And he only met Umar ibn al-Khattab during his khilafah. Abu Muslim al-Khawalani used to pray the whole night, Qiyamul Layl. No, not Ramadan. Every night. Or most of the night. And when his leg would go numb, when his leg would fall asleep from Qiyamul Layl, he used to have a whip that he used to hang up and wake his leg up with it and say, "Get up, you have more of a reason to be beaten than the animal that carries me," meaning the horse or the donkey. And then his leg would fall asleep again, he would wake it up and would say, "Qumi, get up. Wallahi, I'll drag you in front of Allah if I have to, so that Allah knows that the laziness is from you the leg, not me the heart." And then he would motivate himself with his famous words, and he would say, أَيَظُنُّ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ يَسْتَأْثِرُوا بِهِ دُونَنَا كَلَّا وَاللَّهِ لَنُزَاحِمَنَّهُمْ عَلَيْهِ زِحَامًا حَتَّى يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ خَلَّفُوا وَرَاءَهُمْ رِجَالًا. He would say, "Do the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam think they're just going to have him like that instead of us? They're just going to have direct access to him in Jannah and we won't?" His wallahi, will crowd them around him. Shoulder to shoulder, we will compete with the Sahaba. So that they know, the Sahaba, that when they left this earth, they left men behind them on this planet. May Allah return the men to this ummah. Also, another one of those that never met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name was Qatada. You find him, of course, in many tafsir books. He used to sit with Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala once was sitting like this in the halaqah, and there was people there, included amongst them was Qatada rahimahullah. So one asked, "Oh Anas, what was the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam like?" He said, "Kana sha'ruhu ka sha'ri Qatada." His hair was like Qatada's hair. First of all, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, he loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that he knew how many white hairs were in his beard. 17. And he reported that to us. On top of that, he said his hair was like the hair of Qatada. Qatada began to cry. To cry. Out of happiness that he was similar to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, when you love someone, you want to know everything about them. And you want to walk, talk, and smile the way they do. Even the youngsters, when they love an actor, or a sister loves an actress, or a singer, or an athlete, they know when they were born, and where, and what their favorite foods are, and every movie they starred in, or what their career high in points is. They know everything, and they have their pictures on the walls. Not approving of this, of course. But this is the condition of one that loves. You know why they had that kind of love? First of all, love is taught. Muhammad, the son of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala an. How did they have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much when they didn't see him the same way we didn't see him? Because they knew about him. And you cannot love someone you do not know. Muhammad ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu an, he says, we were taught the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the same way we were taught the surahs of the Quran. We were taught his love sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To love a man you do not know is ridiculous. And in turn we say, to not know the man that you need to love is disastrous. Understood? To love a man you do not know is ridiculous. And to not know the man you need to love is disastrous. The best man to ever set foot on this earth's soil and to breathe its air, the best man the sun has ever risen upon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lastly, what I want to conclude with is one of the most famous incidents of love that is described about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah, when there were negotiations going on between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims and the people of Quraysh, Quraysh sent Urwa ibn Mas'ud to negotiate, and he stood there for days trying to negotiate with Muhammad to back off, to go away, to leave. Just go back to Medina, you're not coming to the Kaaba. And then he remained for days, and he saw the Sahaba's love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he went back to Quraysh. And he told them, as for Muhammad, leave him alone. You cannot defeat him. He says, I have journeyed to the kings of the earth. He said, he was an ambassador. I went to the emperors of Rome and of Persia. And I went to the king of Abyssinia. Never did I see a people love their leader the way these men love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I have seen amazing things. I saw that he never made wudu for his prayer, except that they raced one another to catch the water dripping from his body. And never did he spit anything out of his mouth or remove anything from his nose, except that they would fight one another for it, and to die for it and rub their faces and their skin with it. He cannot be defeated. O Muslims who are looking for victory, we were commanded to love him to such an extent because you will not follow one that you do not love. And you will not be successful until you follow him. So you learn, you love, you follow, you succeed. This is the key. And now this age has come when you have to make your stance known and clear. The fitna is coming, the hurricane is coming, which means victory is coming. But you have to make your stance known. Are you a Muslim? A Muslim Muslim? Through thick and thin, do you stand by everything your messenger said and did? Are you proud to be of those that are amongst his fleet? Prepare yourself and your family for that. Because soon it's going to be a crime, if it isn't already, to be associated with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's going to be a reason for persecution and turmoil. And in turn, inshaAllah, it's going to be a reason for our admittance to Jannah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, the fuqaha, the scholars have told me, when we used to go off into battle, we sometimes would surround a fortress that was impregnable, and we would stay there for months unable to enter. and the kuffar would become conceited with themselves and happy, that we would not be able to get in. So they would stand on their towers and begin to curse out our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Taymiyyah says in his book, As-Sarim al-Maslul, he says, the scholars told me, كُنَّا نَسْتَبْشِرُ بِسَبِّهِ مَعَ امْتِلَاءِ قُلُوبِنَا غَيْظًا مِمَّا نَسْمَعُ. We used to receive good news from hearing him get cursed, all the while being enraged, our hearts filling with rage with the words that we hear. Because every time they made that decision to curse out Rasulullah, every time very soon we would enter. Because Allah does not leave His Messenger to be insulted. So we would get good news when we hear this happen, all the while our hearts filling with rage. So when the Prophet is cursed, victory is near, with us or without us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ.
Whether you support him or not, Allah has already written victory for him. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. Allah had it written, I will be victorious, me and my messengers. So your obligation is to make your stance known before it's too late. The signs of the Day of Judgment are badgering us one after another. We are told about them so that we may prepare for them. Some of the ulama mention that all of the minor signs are finished, and there is nothing but the major. As for the major, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that whomever has not prepared iman before, no iman will help them then, once they start. And when they start, he says sallallahu alayhi wasallam in another hadith, they will spill off like beads fall off of a ripped necklace. So go home tonight and sit with yourself and your family and say, where am I? Sure, we all do love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but the thermometer of love for him in your hearts, where is it? 20, 30, 40%, 100? I doubt it. Because if it were, you would find complete ease to fall in line with everything that he did, be it a command that was an obligation, or a recommendation that is praiseworthy, or simply something that he personally loved to do. You would love to do it as well. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw a man wearing a gold ring, and he informed them before that gold and silk are impermissible for the men of my ummah. So he jumped to his hand and pulled it off of him and threw this gold ring on the floor and said, do you insist to brand yourself with a ring of fire? Meaning this is the end result of men wearing gold. And he walked away sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So another companion approached the first and said, pick up the ring, do something with it, give it to someone, you can't wear it. He said, how could I, even though it's halal, how could I pick it up after the Messenger of Allah has put it down? Measure yourself with them, because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, and we know that their road ends in Jannah. As for our road, only Allah knows. So walk with them step by step, pace by pace. And if you can, try to compete, try to do this race. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala envelope us and you in His mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala envelope us in His mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala envelope us and our families and our parents and our children in His mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and grant us the companionship of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based upon the fact that we believed in Him without seeing Him, to grant us a drink from His hand on the day that we meet Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a drink from Al-Kawthar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause our love for him to be a reason for the victory of this ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and guide with us and make us a reason for those to be guided in the future. Ameen, ameen, ameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلي اللهم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاك الله خيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.